Okay. Welcome. We are on Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, which is chapter 17. And we're discussing the story of David and Goliath, David and Goliath. And last week we learned that the Pushtim had rallied their armies against Israel, and Goliath, this monstrous man, came forth and challenged the Jewish people, and he said, basically, let's have a duel. Let's one man come and fight me, and whoever wins, that will determine if the Jewish people win. If you win, then we will all be servants to you, and if I win, then you'll all be servants to me. And he insulted them, etc., and that's basically where we left off. So we left off at Pasuk Yod Aleph, verse 11, where it says, Vayishma Shol v'chol Yisrael es divrei ha'plishti ha'ela. And Shol and all the Jewish people heard the words of this plishti, of the Philistine, Vayichatu v'yiru ma'od. And they were scared, and they were fearful. Different types of fear, it seems. I've heard that vayechatu means that you're scared in such a way that you can't approach, or maybe even you can't move. And vayiru is just, I guess, a general fear, a general awe. But they were scared. They couldn't. They definitely were not approaching. The David, Pasuk Yud Beis, the David ben Ish Ephrasi hazeh, mi beis lechem Yehuda, ushmo Yishai, v'lo shmo Navanim. So, and David, coming back to talk about David, because he's going to lead us, you know, he's eventually going to fight Goliath. So it comes back to talk about David. It says he was ben Ish Ephrasi hazeh. He was the son of this Ephrati man, mi Beis Lechem Yehuda, from Beis Lechem in Yehuda, ushmo Yishai, and his name, the man that we're talking about, was Yishai, v'lo shmo Navanim, and he had 8 sons. V'yish b'mei Shaul zaking ba'anashim, and the man Yishai in the days of Shaul was elderly, and he was ba'anashim. Literally means he came amongst men. So we have to see what all of this means. So first it describes David as a ben ish Ephrati hazeh. He was the son of an Ephrati. What's an Ephrati? What's an Ephrati? So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Beis Lechem Yosheves Be'eretz Ephrat. That Beis Lechem was in Ephrat, and that's why he was called a Ephrati man. The Metudas David, sorry, the Gemara in Sota has a different shot. The Gemara says, it's talking about Shifra and Pua. And the Gemara says that the Miyaldos, the nursemaids, Shifra and Pua, which the Gemara tells us were Yocheved and Miriam, it says they saw Hashem, they saw God, Vayiru, Vahiki Yaru Amiyaldos Esal Elokim, or they feared God, Vayas Lahem Batim, and Hashem made them houses. Hashem rewarded them for saving the Jewish babies by giving them houses. So the Gemara says, what were these houses? Ravu Shmuel, Chad Amar Batei Malchus. One thing it says, they were houses of kingship. V'chad Amar Batei Kehuna Levia. And one opinion says, they were houses of Kehuna and Levia. That's the house that they were awarded. So the opinion says, the Gemara, that says they were awarded with Batei Kehuna and Levia. So that's Aaron and Moshe. Right? Aaron and Moshe, the Kohanim and the Levium came from them. The Levium came from others also. But that was Yocheved's reward. Right? That Yocheved's sons, Aaron and Moshe, grew to greatness. That was her reward for saving the Jewish babies. Umanda Amar Bati Malchus, and the opinion that points to that kingship came from Yocheved and Miriam. So how does kingship come from them? So the Gemara says, David Nami Mi Miriam Kaasi, because David HaMelech was a descendant of Miriam. Her reward for saving the Jewish babies was Batim, houses of kingship, and that refers to the house of David, because David came from Miriam. And it says, because how do we know? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, it says, Vatamas Azuva, and Azuva died, Vayikach lo Kalev es Ephras, Vatilid lo es Chur. And Kalev took Ephras as a wife, and she gave birth to Chur. And it says, Uksiv David ben Ish Ephrasi, and it has our Pasuk, that David was a Ephrati man. So the Gemara is interpreting that to mean he was a descendant of Ephras. Who was Ephras? So the Gemara is understanding that Ephras was Miriam. Rashi says that the Gemara there talked about how Miriam was sickly and people wouldn't marry her. And the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says, Vatamas Azuva, means that she was very sick. And then, but still, despite that, after she got better, so then Kalev took her as a wife. Kalev married her, V'achar Shnisrafa, and this all refers to Miriam. You see, Miriam is called Ephras, and it says David was a Ben Ephrasi. So we see that David, the Gemara says, we see that David was a descendant of Miriam. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Now, it's definitely simpler to understand that he either came from Ephras, or I think some want to say that he came from Ephraim, but the Marsha tries to deal with all those possibilities, and he says, we find that the Ephrasi is used for to describe people from Ephraim. It says, they're talking by the Anshe Gilad. They say, are you from Ephras? Are you from Ephraim? And we have that someone who lives in Har Ephraim is called that in Perak Aleph, Shmuel Aleph, Ben Tochu, Ben Tzufa Ephrasi. So why doesn't the Gemara assume that, like, the simple understanding of this pasuk, that it means he came from Ephraim? I guess it doesn't want to learn that he came from... Right, so Rashi says that Beis Lechem is in Eretz Ephras. I don't know what Eretz Ephras is, but the Gemara doesn't seem to be going with that. But Marsha is entertaining, why doesn't it assume that Ephrasi means that he was from Shever Ephraim? So the Marsha says, because he was from Yehuda. We know he was from Yehuda. And he lived in Beis Lechem, which is in Yehuda. That's in this pasuk also. It says, Mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. He was from Beis Lechem Yehuda. So he wasn't called Ephrasi because he came from Ephraim, or from Ephras, he came from Beis Lechem in Yehuda. So it must be that it's his family name. It's a family name, a chash of a family name, which is the family of Miriam, because Miriam is called Ephras. He says, we find that Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband, right, in the story of Rus's father-in-law, he's also called Ephrasi, and that as well, says the Marsha, is because he was a descendant of Miriam. And he says, even Beis Lechem, which is, I guess, called Beis Lechem Ephras, it's called Beis Lechem Ephras because of this, because of Miriam. That's what the Marsha says. So, again, the pshat in this pasuk, the simple reading is that he was from a place of Ephras, but the Gemara interprets it to mean that he was a descendant of Miriam, and this was Miriam's reward for saving the Jewish babies in Mitzrayim, was that she would have a descendant, that the kings would come from her through the line of David HaMelech. Now, the pasuk at the end here. Oh, so first of all, this word hazeh is just worth noting. It says, "Pe'ish Ephrasi hazeh." He was the son of this Ephrati man, referring to Yishai. What's hazeh? This. Farshim say it's telling you that he was very chashuv. He was. Yishai was not just a simple person. The Gemara even says that Yishai was one of those who died. B'nashcho shel nachash. He died only because there has to be death in the world. But he didn't have an avera to his name that he died because he was allotted a certain amount of time, but not because of any avera. So he was a very respected person. And that's why we describe him at the end of this pasuk as Zakein. He was not just an elder, but you know, a leader. Zakein Zekan Achachma. He was somebody, a Talmud Chacham. Baba Noshim. So this is an interesting line, and there's a number of different approaches in the Mefarshim. What it means that he was Baba Noshim. Literally, he came amongst men. So Rashi says it means he was counting amongst the men, amongst the chash of a men. Like we're saying, he was a very chash of a person, very respected person. He was Baba Anashim. He was counting amongst the most respected people. The Metudas David says that it's referring back to that which he was elderly, and we're talking in the context of the battle. In the next pasuk, we're going to talk about his sons who he sent to battle, and it's talking about how he would go to war. That since he was elderly, he couldn't go to war, so he was Baba Anashim. He would come with other people, meaning he would send representatives, maybe his sons, as we're going to see. He would send his sons, but other people would represent him in going to battle on behalf of Kali Yisrael. And that's how he would come. He wouldn't actually be there, but he would have agents going instead. That's what it means, Baba Anashim. That's Metudas David's interpretation. The Gemara in Brachos learns that it means that he would be escorted by Anashim. He was Baba Anashim. When he would come, when he would go places, there was an entire escort going along with him. You have this with the Gedolim, right? In Eretz Yisrael, certainly. Anywhere they go, there's vans and there's people chasing them. So Yishai was a Baba Anashim. Everywhere he would go, he would be escorted by groups of people. That's the Gemara's interpretation. And lastly, the Radak learned, similar to Rashi, that Baba Anashim means he was counted amongst the elderly. He had, another way of expressing that he was old. He was Baba Anashim. He was now amongst the old men, the altar Jews. And that's Baba Anashim. So we have four pshatim in these two words. The first, Rashi and Radak, are pretty similar, that he was counted either amongst the chash of a man or against the older men. We have the Metudas David, that he wouldn't go to battle, but he would come through other people. He would have other people represent him. And we have the Gemara in Brachos, which means that he was Baba Anashim. He would go with a group. Pasuk Yagimel, Vayelchu Shloshes Bnei Yishai Hagedolim, and the three older sons of Yishai went. Halchu Acharei Shaul Amelchama. They went after Shaul to war. The Mefarshim say this double lashon, and they went. One of them is expressing that they would regularly go, and one of them is expressing that they were going now. So they would regularly go, and they were going now. V'shem shloshes banav asher holchu b'melchama, and the name of these three sons who went to war were Eliav HaBechar. Eliav was the eldest, u'mishneyu Avinadav, and second to him was Avinadav, v'ashelishi Shama, and the third son was Shama. V'David hu HaKatan, and David, the pasuk says, he was the youngest. And three of them went with Shaul, but David stayed home.
Taro always, Taro can't have any major gaps.
We assume that this is chronological. In other words, the part where we had a few pages earlier that describes things a little differently, does that chronological come first, or does it?
Yes, that was before. What's different?
Well, they don't go into the discussion about Ishai very much, except they talk about the guy. In the first story, they describe her as a base Latin that they have. They don't just have Ephrathi there.
Uh-huh, okay. You're asking why, you know, if why is this whole, there a whole description of exactly who Yishai was over here? Why not in the last parak where we first met Yishai?
Yeah, and David.
Right. Yeah.
Unless, you know, unless it was a combined story, it's all, this is further describing what was happening.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. Mefarshim seemed to assume that this happened after. This happened after that. Because they talk about why we're going to see why was David back home. I thought he was usually with Shaul, right? So we'll talk about that. Right. Yeah, basically. No, not really. So let's see Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. The David hoich vashav me'al Shaul. There you go. Pasuk says. And David would go and come home from Shaul. He wasn't always with Shaul. He would come and go. Why? To shepherd the sheep of his father in Beis Lachem, especially here at times when his brothers had to go to war and were not available to shepherd the sheep. So then it was David had to come home. They called him home. You know, we need you. Need you back home. So David would go and come in order to shepherd his father's sheep. Okay. Now the story reverts back to the battlefield for one pasuk, and it says, "Vayigash haplishti hashkem v'harev, vayisyatzev arboim yom." And the plishti, Goliath, would come hashkem v'harev at wake up time, and in the evening, vayisyatzev arboim yom, and he stood there for 40 days. So we'll talk about why this pasuk is inserted here momentarily. Let's just look at the pasuk itself. So the Gemara has a number of comments about this pasuk. The Gemara says, "Vayigash haplishti hashkem v'harev," that he would come in the morning and in the evening. Why? "Kedei levatla mikriyas shma shachris v'arvis," in order to stop them from reciting Kriyas Shema in the morning and in the evening. You know, we know the Gemara, it's actually in the same... No, it's in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that... The Pasuk says by in Parshas Kis... Parshas Shoftim, when it talks about going out to battle. So it says that the Kohen would come and he would say, "Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, Atem, Nitzavim, you're here in battle." And the Gemara darshins, why does he say Shema Yisrael? That he tells them that the zechus of Shema Yisrael is enough to, he tries to give them chizuk and tell them that the zechus of Shema Yisrael itself is enough for you to be victorious in battle. So the Gemara says,
they had the appropriate travel.
So the idea seems to be that, you know, Shema Yisrael is accepting all Malchus Shemaim at its, you know, its deepest level. It's really accepting that everything is in control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is Echad. That everything is within His power, and that's how a Jew goes to battle with that in mind. But if you're not saying Shema, you know, in the times leading up to battle, so that would be, you know, a great tragedy. That would be terrible. And that's what Goliath was out to get. Now, whether he knew what he was doing, you know, Did he know Hilchos Kriya Shema? He knew that by coming in the morning and the evening, he was being mevatel them. Oh, that's the Das Sofrim says. Beautiful. Okay, the Das Sofrim says in Rabbi Schwartz's Chumash that we talked last week that Golias was a descendant of Arpa, right? Of the wife of Kilion, I think one of Rus's sister. So he says that's how he knew about Kriya Shema. Okay, right. We'll get to Arba Yom right in a minute. So that's how he knew that this is what he had to do to overcome them. Very interesting, because right, we have this in a number of places. We have it by Haman. Also, Haman. Haman, you know, he tells Achashverosh about the halachos that the Jews keep and different things that Haman seems to be aware of halacha. So the question is, did he know what he was doing? So maybe you could say there he used to be the servant of Mordechai. So maybe he knew from that, or you could say that no, they don't know. They're not intending to do it, but there's kochos of tuma that's natural. That if you're an evil force, if you're a force of tuma, so you naturally go against the kochos of kedusha. Right. I hear. So that's what he would do. The I saw brought down that the Be'er Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim, brings a proof from this pasuk to an interesting halacha. The halacha is, it's based on a Gemara, it's paskening something reishnung of Or HaChaim, that a person should yashkim baboker, a person should get up in the morning on Friday, should get up early to start preparing for Shabbos. Even if you have servants, you should do it yourself, but it sounds like you're supposed to even get up early. It's not, maybe it's something to take on. I personally don't do this, but now maybe I should, You get up early to...
Up earlier than 4:30.
Well, to prepare for Shabbos. Now, right, so, but what if you have a learning seder or something else? So the Mishnah Berurah there says... So, it's learned from a pasuk by the man. The man says that and it will be on the sixth day, and you should prepare that which you're going to bring in about the man. And the I think it's a medrash actually learns from here that it should be hachana dumya dehava, that the preparation should be just like the bringing. And the bringing of the man was right when they woke up, so the preparation should also be right when you wake up. And right when you wake up, that's when you should start preparing for Shabbos. Do something to start preparing. So Mishnah Berurah says...
The man they got, right, they didn't, it wasn't until after sunrise.
Okay, yeah, right, we're talking about...
Normally get up so early there.
Okay, we're not talking about that. He says, however, he says that... That's after you say Shema and after you daven. That's when you start preparing for Shabbos. It says, however, if you normally learn after that for a certain amount of time, so then you shouldn't be mevatel that. You should do that, and then you should go and do something to prepare for Shabbos. But first thing in the morning, Friday, after you're davening and after you're learning, you should try to do something to prepare for Shabbos. That's the halacha. So... In the Be'er Halacha, he has a discussion about some of the parameters of this, and the question is, how much time do you have for this? When is it called Yashkin? When is it called that you're getting up? You're doing it first thing in the morning. So. He says, when was the mitzvah of Shabbos given to them? He says, they got the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mara, right? Which was before Matan Torah. So when this mitzvah preparing for Shabbos was originally given to them, so certainly it was first thing in the morning, you get up, right away, you prepare for Shabbos. There's no mitzvah of Kriya Shema yet. There's no mitzvah of Shema. It's before Matan Torah. But he says, once Matan Torah came, so then... So that's a mitzvah. It's tadir. It's every day. So that would have to be that. So you have to wait till after Kriya. You should wait till after you say Kriya Shema in order to do this, in order to prepare. And he says that which Reb Chista in the either it's a Gemara or a Medrash said Yashkim, you should get up. He meant you should do it first thing. So the Bir Halacha goes on and he says the truth is the whole time of Kriya Shema that you have is called Hashkama, is called getting up. So if we're saying Yashkim, if we're saying to get up in order to, if we're saying Yashkim, you should get up in order to say Kriya Shema, in order to prepare for Shabbos, well, what's considered Yashkim? So he says the entire period that you're able to say Shema is actually called Yashkim. How do we know? It says a raya from this pasuk and from the Chazal on this pasuk, because this pasuk says that Goliath would come hashkim v'harev. He would come during the time of waking up of hashkama and the evening, and the Gemara says that the time of Hashkim, he would do it in order to be mevatel them from Kriya Shema, which means he was doing it for the entire period of Zman Kriya Shema. That's how long he was standing there and yelling at them to disturb them so they wouldn't say Kriya Shema. So you have a raya, you have a proof that the entire period of Zman Kriya Shema is called Hashkim. So when Rav Chista said Yashkim, you should get up early, you know, or get up during the time of getting up, that's when you should start preparing for Shabbos. So you have this entire period of Zman Kriya Shema in order to do that. That's the proof from this pasuk and this Gemara that the Bir Halacha brings. No. Now, it's interesting because if you really take this Mishnah Brura to its logical conclusion, so that would mean that Goliath was yelling basically the whole night, I guess, because Zman Kriya Shema, you could say Kriya Shema until dawn in the morning. So if the Mishnah Brura is assuming that he was doing it the entire period of time, that's what he's proving. He's saying, you see that Hashkama is called the whole time of Kriya Shema because he must have been yelling the whole time of Kriya Shema because he was trying to be mevatel them from Kriya Shema. So it would, according to that, it would mean that he was doing this not just the whole morning but also the whole night. After Chatzos, he was a machmir. Okay. Now the second part of this pasuk. What? Then you have to do it all day. Then you could take Kriya Shema anytime. So. Okay. The second half of this pasuk says that Vayisyatzev Arba'im Yom. He stood there for 40 days. So the Gemara says about that, K'neged Arba'im Yom Shenitna Bohem Torah. It corresponds to the 40 days that the Torah was given. So what's that? What does one have to do with the other? So there's a couple of different ideas here. The Marsha says, coming back to what I was saying before about, you know, sort of kochos of tuma, you know, impure powers having just this ability to tap in somehow to impure concepts or powers. So the Marsha invokes an idea like this. He says We know the pasuk says in Koheles, Zelu Maaseh Asah Elokim, that Hashem made Zelu Maaseh. He made something corresponding to everything. So for everything that's holy, Hashem created something impure to correspond to it, to have balance in the world, to test us, right? So the Maharsha says that just as the Torah was given in 40 days, so he also gave a koach of tetuma to have 40 days to operate. And therefore he gave 40 days for Goliath to blaspheme up on that mountain as a sort of a trade-off to the 40 days that they still got Har Sinai by Matan Torah. So it's a fascinating idea, this Marsha, that in some way this was a reenactment of the giving of the Torah, just on a totally lahavdil alfei avdalos, the opposite end. It was the zelu maaseh, it was the other side of the coin. It was the tuma, the kochos of tuma's chance to have a 40-day, you know, inspirational time of where the powers of tuma were operating. That's how the Maharsha interprets it. The right. Right. Yeah. I saw what Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein in the introduction to one of his svarim. He writes something like that you know, the internet is like the greatest thing. Obviously, it was created for Torah.
And it says Torah anytime. It says Hashem's reason for creating the internet.
Right.
For magnets like that.
Yeah, he says something like that. Like, for sure, certainly this was the whole reason for its creation or something. Because I guess he has lots of shiurim and stuff available online also. Okay, another shot that I saw was that the 40 days that they stood at Har Sinai were 40 days where they didn't have the Torah. It was, they had already become a nation at the Aseres HaDibros, on Vav Sivan, but then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, and I think this is what he's saying, they were sort of, it's the first time that they were the Am Yisrael without a Torah, though. So there was a weakness in that. And it was that weakness that gave the Kochos of Tuma again like a chance, an opportunity, a zechus to fight against. Now that, you can ask, well, it ended up being a lot more than 40 days because Moshe Rabbeinu came down and broke the Luchos. So then there was another 40 days, and then another 40 days. So I'm not sure, but that's a suggestion that I saw. And I guess, you know, going with the Das Sofrim's approach again, the Rabbi Schwartz told us that Goliath was aware of these ideas from his mother Arpa, and that's why he deliberately tried to attack in that way. There's one other medrash that speaks about this 40 days, I mean possibly more than one, but another idea that the medrash says that Arpa, Goliath's mother, followed Rus for 40 steps. She started going with Rus, and then Rus convinced her, sorry, not Rus, with Naomi. Arpa went with Naomi part way, and then Naomi convinced her to turn back. So in the merit of those 40 steps that she went, so her son was saved for 40 more days, and then he was killed. But he was given an extra 40 days to survive as a merit for... Yeah, so it comes from Midrashim. We talked about it last week, and the Gemara.
Isn't that contrary? Is it Goliath the Polish?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Medrash is that she traveled to Pushti after she wasn't reaccepted by the Moabites, you know, after she...
Assimilated into the Pushti.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Medrash. Okay. Okay, so what's the... Okay, so let's see the next pasuk, and then we'll ask what's the connection. Vayomer Yishai leDavid beno, and Yishai said to David his son, Kachna leAchecha Eifas haKoli Azeh, take for your brothers this Eifa. It's a measurement of Koli of it's like wheat kernels. Maybe they're roasted kernels. Vasara lechem azeh, and 10 loaves of bread. Vehare tamachane leAchecha, and run to your brother's camp at the battle. So Yishai assigns David as a messenger to bring this food to his brothers. So I think it's the Malbim maybe who points out that the reason why that pasuk of the 40 days was inserted there was to tell you why they ran out of food. Because the battle was dragging out. 40 straight days he was coming out and demanding that someone fight him. And they were sitting tight, nobody was moving, and right, vayichatu, they were scared, they were unmoving, so therefore they ran out of food and they had to send for more. But this is all the hashkacha in order to get David to arrange for David HaMelech to make his way to the camp, to the battle. So now Yishai is still talking. He says, also take these 10, these are like cheeses. The Targum says guvnin, some dairy cheeses. Again, you know, something that lasts, that they might have had at battle, dried out cheeses. Tavi lasar ha'alef, bring it to the officer of thousands. So that could either be, Rashi says, either the officer of the group of thousand that your brothers are a part of. Rashi brings another interpretation that he refers to Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, because earlier it said that he was an officer of thousands, of 1,000. He had a group of 1,000 men. So bring it to them. Vesachecha tifko d'lishalom. Vesarubasam tifkach. And your brothers, you should check on them, remember them, but check on them for how they're doing. This arubasam tikach, and take their arubasam. We'll give some explanations of what that is. Take that as well. What's arubasam tikach? What is arubasam tikach? So Rashi learns it means just similar to what it said right before, tifko to shalom, check on how they're doing, and arubasam tikach, and take back their, somehow that means, you know, how they're feeling, like I guess from the word like sweet, like the harevna, that it should be sweet, check on how they're doing, and bring it back to me, meaning find out how they're doing and bring me word of it. That's what Yishai instructed David to do. The Radak learns, and other Mefarshim, that Arubasam here is like Eiravon. Eiravon could mean a collateral, like a mashkar. Take their collaterals. What does that mean? So they explain, very practical idea, these people were sitting in the battleground. If they ran out of food, so they need money to buy more food, what do? They borrow. They borrow money. How do you borrow money? You have to give something as collateral, as a mashkon. So Yishai is telling David, go to your brothers, bring them this food, and also take some money to pay back their lenders so that you can release the collateral, release their items back to them. Arubasam tikov, you should take their stuff back for them. Sort of related pshat, also learning that it's some kind of item that's an eravon, that's acting as a collateral of some sort, slightly different. The Rabag says that Yishai is telling David, take back their items to them. Why? Why do we have their items here with us? Because they sent a messenger telling their father that they needed food. How was the messenger going to identify, going to prove that he was representing Yishai's sons? So they had some kind of item that they sent with him that was a code, that was a proof to who they were, that this was on their behalf. And it was them who was asking for this. So the messenger brought this message. He brought, you know, their order that we need cheese and roasted kernels, etc. And he brought an item to Yishai that was their signature, sort of their password, that this is their request. And now when Yishai sends David back with the items, with the food, so he's sending back their item as well. That's how they're all bagwans. The Gemara in Shabbos has a fourth shot. And this is going to be a much more major topic later when we learn about David HaMelech and his armies. But the Gemara says that Arubasam refers to a get. A get krisus, to divorce their wives. That he's sending food to his brothers, and he's telling David, and bring back their gittin to give to their wives. Because the Gemara, it seems that it came from here originally, that Yishai instructed his sons to divorce their wives so that you wouldn't have any guna situation, that if they're lost in battle and we can't track them down, their wives would not be able to remarry. So rather than have that happen, they would divorce their wives before battle to prevent any iguna situation. Now,
why is he waiting till then?
What?
Why is he waiting?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Maybe they didn't have them ready until now. So right. So how did this work? So this is going to become much more relevant later by David HaMelech when he's general with Uriah and Bathsheba and then that story. But I think I saw there's machlokes Rishonim how it worked. Was it some Rishonim learn that they just completely divorced their wives and right they would remarry them when they got back? And but some Mefarshim learn that no, they didn't. It was a get out tonight. It was on condition that if something would happen to them, so then retroactively you're divorced from right now from the time that they gave the get. But as long as nothing happened to them, then the get would never kick in, and they would remain married. How does this relate to the words arubasam? So aruba is like the word eruv, which means a mixture, and it's referring to that they're a couple that's mixed together right now. The way the Gemara says it is, the Mefarshim here bring it. Dvarim hamuravim beino leveinam. You'll take that which is mixing them together, meaning the kiddushin and the nisuin, the marriage, and by bringing back a get, you will separate them. So arubasam tikach it really would mean take that item that will take away their arvus, their mixture, that would end their marriage. And he was telling him to bring a get. Okay, let's do one more pasuk, maybe more. V'shol v'hema v'chol ish yisrael be'eme ka'ela nilchamim im pelishtim. And Shaul and them, meaning the sons of Yishai, and all the Jewish people were in Eimek Ha'ila, in this valley. Nilchamim im pelishtim, they were fighting with the pelishtim. Vayashkim David baboker, and David got up in the morning. Vayitoshes hatzon ala shomer. Sorry, that pasuk, by the way, was still Yishai talking. That's what the Mefarshim say. Pasuk Yotes, which says that Shaul and them, meaning the sons and all the Jewish people, are in Eimek Ha'ila. They're fighting with the Plishtim. So that's Yishai telling David. David, Yishai says, take this food and take this to your brothers. And by the way, they're in Emek Ha'ilah, that's where they're fighting. So then it says, Pasuk Chav, Vayashkim David Baboker, David got up early in the morning, Vayitosh Esatong Al-Shomer, and he abandoned, he left the sheep to a guard. He had been shepherding them, now he left them in the guard's hands. Vayisa Vayelech, and he picked up his things and he went, Kasher Tivo Yishai, as Yishai had commanded him, Vayavo Hamagola, and he came to the circle. Most Mefarshim learn that's just another word for the camp. Rashi has this interesting idea that there was a circle around the camp that nobody was allowed to cross. Meaning if you were in the camp, you weren't allowed to go out past the camp, because then we would assume that you were abandoning. And if you were outside the camp, it means you were in a position of guarding, you weren't allowed to come inside the camp, because that would be breaking the perimeter. So there was this circle around the camp that you weren't allowed to cross. Other Mefarshim would say it's another word for camp, because it just means a circle. And the army that was going out to war, he came to them, and seemingly they weren't doing too great in war. I think they they haven't fought yet, so it's hard to understand what this refers to. I think that the way Rashi learns it, he learns it back into that idea of the circle. Like if you would go beyond the circle, hey Reyu ba milchama, it would mess up your chances in war. It would be bad for your battle plans. And that's to that scene that David arrives now to bring the food to his brothers, and he's soon going to see Goliath, and that's going to arise him to act. All right.